The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, we're into Purim week. And yeah. It doesn't really feel like it, I have to tell you.
That's a good thing, no?
It's probably a good thing, but I don't know.
I'm not saying it's not a sad thing. Look, the rabbi at Ashul, I thought, spoke brilliantly on Shabbat, and he said, if Purim feels normal this year, go home. If you're sitting at the Megillah reading and people are drunk and it feels normal, go home. And I think that's right. Please God, next year will be normal, whatever Purim and normal are. But this year is not the year for normal.
Well, what I can say is that obviously all of the main Purim events, the parades, Adloya does, they're called in Israel, the dressing up of people going around and generally celebrating Purim, are not happening this year. I did notice that they tried to put some decorations up in the high street of the city where I live in order to make it feel a little bit more festive. And of course, yesterday with the massive reopening of Israel's economy and market following the recent lockdowns. I mean, yesterday was really a big moment, reopening under vaccination conditions. So this is the real test for the vaccinations and a real test for to Israel to see whether we can pull out of lockdown once and for all and whether these vaccinations will be as effective as we all hope they will be. But it was noticeable that there was a run on the shops for Purim outfits, everybody wanting to get dressing up outfits for their children. Mm-hmm. And there was a real, some pictures showing people waiting in lines outside shops in order to try to get in. Obviously, shops trying to operate the Ministry of Health regulations about the number of people that are allowed in the shop at any moment in time and checking temperatures and things like that. Shopping malls were open. Schools are now being opened. So there is a general reopening. Gyms, shuls, cinemas even opening under restrictions. This is now the new normal, which means that shopping malls and shops are open for anybody to enter, but under guidelines which allow a certain number of people in. But things like gyms and shuls and cinemas are only available to people who have been vaccinated. So they are now trying to implement the system to check whether people have been vaccinated or not. There is a green card system, a green card that's been issued by the Ministry of Health to those people who have received both of their vaccinations and have passed at least a week after the second vaccination. Of course, there is already a market for fraudulent green cards. Who would think that there would be a market for fraudulent green cards? That people would present themselves.
Yeah,
people would present themselves as having been vaccinated when they haven't really been vaccinated. I don't know why people would want to do that, but there you go. So there's already a market already.
That is a person of so little principle. You know, if you don't want to get vaccinated because you believe strongly in it, then at least stand up by your ideals. To not get the vaccine and then to pretend that you have, I think is absolutely appalling.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's just really crazy. And apparently, the code that has been put on the green cards is already found to have a bug in it. And apparently a lot of the green cards are going to have to be reissued because of the fact that, apparently there is something which is very, very easy to replicate there. And so, yeah, unfortunately there is a market for fraudulent green cards, but there was just a general feeling yesterday of, as a little celebration, I think. I think there was definitely a feeling that things are kind of moving forward somehow, that there is some hope. And I certainly hope that the vaccine will hold up and will prove itself over the coming weeks. Lots and lots of research suggesting that the vaccines are very effective, 90% plus effective in all the bits that I've seen and all the articles that have been written about it. It seems to be extremely effective, at least in the laboratories and the tests and the research that's being done out in the field. And so we're certainly hoping that this is going to hold up But certainly, you know, definitely a feeling yesterday of going somewhere, moving forward, definitely a positive That's feeling wonderful. Yesterday. Wonderful. There are still considerations about what will be done over Purim over mm-hmm. the weekend, whether there will be a further lockdown, whether there will be a further restrictions. As I've said before, they're limiting all the public, public celebrations, the usual parades that normally take place are not taking place this year. But people in their own private homes and in their shuls and wherever people usually go over Purim will obviously want to celebrate. So I'm not quite sure what restrictions are going to be in place. But for now, at least, those people who have had their vaccinations and have passed more than a week after the second vaccination are really able to do a lot more than has been the case over the past year. So let's hope that that will continue to reopen and gather momentum rather than us seeing suddenly that because for whatever reason it's not going according to plan and they're going to have to pull the strings back again. But, for the official statistics, there's probably 4.5 million people now, 4.5 million Israelis, 4.4 to be exact, 4.4 million who have already received the first dose of the vaccine. 2.9 million, almost 3 million now, who have been vaccinated with both of the vaccinations. And there is a significant slowdown in the number of people who are turning up to be vaccinated. And also the ministry has warned that they are running out of vaccines. So yesterday I heard on the radio an announcement saying that people who have not been vaccinated, who wish to be vaccinated, should turn up pretty soon because we apparently are running low on the stock of vaccines. I'm not quite sure if that's a tactic to try and get people in through the doors.
Certainly sounds like one.
There have been a lot of tactics to get people in through the doors, giving away pizzas at vaccination centers, all kinds of freebies. There's a great little video which is a spoof on these freebies that have been given away. A woman who turns up saying she's been vaccinated 9 times and she's got all of her freebies from all the various places. And then she gives her husband an urgent call to say, you have to turn up and get vaccinated in Rehovot because they're giving away a freebie over there. And so, a bit of a spoof, but they have been trying to encourage people to come in through the door. By giving away all kinds of things, food and other encouraging little goodies to get people through the door. I think the big question now surrounds the children. There are clinical trials being held by Pfizer, I understand, to get the vaccine approved for use by children under the age of 16. I heard that there is also a trial in Israel which involves children at risk. A very specific trial to see whether those children react to the vaccination or not. So far, I understand that the trials have been very positive, that the children who have been participating in these trials have worked out pretty well. And I understand from Pfizer that they're on the verge of having the vaccine approved for use by children as well. So that seems to be progressing. I think that's going to be the next big thing because certainly the outbreak amongst our younger people, teenagers, children, has been much more significant over the past few weeks. And there is now a new concern because once upon a time, way back when a year ago or 6 months ago, we had this notion that children didn't really suffer from any consequences or didn't feel the fact that they didn't have any noticeable signs of coronavirus at all and didn't suffer from it afterwards. But that's now proven to be incorrect. And even though children might have been asymptomatic while they actually have the virus, it's turning out that they're suffering from a lot of consequential issues after having got through it. And so there is now a move to try to get children vaccinated as well. That's going to be, I think, the next big thing.
Yeah. The exchange to secure the release of an Israeli woman from Syria was completed over the weekend. What took place during this exchange? But it's a perplexing story for me. Then nothing makes sense to me about the story.
I agree. I mean, what took place over the weekend, as far as we understand, is that a private plane, a business plane, landed in Moscow, picked up this woman, returned her back to Israel, to her family. And at the same time, we understand that Israel released two Syrian shepherds from an Israeli prison who had apparently of their own volition crossed the border from Syria into Israel. They actually wanted to be in Israel. They were arrested, having crossed the border illegally, and they've now been returned back to Syria against their will. Apparently also in the process, a Druze lady who had been under house arrest in the Golan for various activities which the Israeli government didn't find pleasing. She'd been in house arrest. She was released from house arrest. And there is a lot of talk about whether or not the Israeli government has financed the purchase of vaccine for Syrians as part of this exchange deal, and whether or not the Israeli taxpayers had to pull up to dole out $1 million in order to buy Sputnik vaccinations for Syrian nationals as part of this exchange deal. The Prime Minister has denied that Israel has given any vaccine to Syria, but it still kind of leaves the door open for Israel to have bought vaccine from Russia, which Israel was never planning to use anyway, and sent this to Syria. So that seems to be the gist of what happened over the weekend. And the story about this lady who actually crossed over into Syria is probably the most perplexing part of the whole thing, because it seems as if though she is somebody who was intent upon crossing into Syria, and apparently even had a post on her Facebook page which said, "No fence will stop me." So she seemed to be somebody who was intent upon crossing over into Syria and did it, done it. She's carried out this act purposefully. And there are stories which suggest that she'd actually tried to cross borders before on foot, tried to cross into Gaza, apparently, also tried to potentially cross into Lebanon and even into Jordan, across Israel's borders. And so a very, very weird situation. I'm not quite sure if the lady was somehow ill in any way, but she seemed to be very intent upon carrying out this. And she went over the border, apparently found a certain place which was not particularly well covered by security cameras and was just one of those areas of the border which are easy to cross without being detected. And she did so, and then went into a Syrian village across the border. People there then called the security forces. There was a concern that she might be a spy, and she was arrested by the security forces and, of course, has now been returned back to Israel via Moscow. So, you know, I'm sure that there's a little bit more to the story for us to find out than meets the eye, but certainly a very strange and, as you said, how a perplexing story to me as well.
Yeah, on so many different levels. Can we just talk about this judo tournament that was held in Tel Aviv over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, under normal circumstances, this would be a great thing. International Judo Federation, International Judo Tour tournament taking place in Israel. Israel, the Israeli team earning 4 medals, a gold, 2 silvers and a bronze. And the most number of medals going to the Georgian team, although they were top of the medal table because they only earned 2 golds as opposed to 3 golds that were earned by the French team. But lots of controversy because representatives were here in Israel from 24 countries to take place in this tournament. And there were lots of questions being asked about whether this tournament should have taken place under the coronavirus restrictions. It was quite noticeable from the bits and pieces that I saw on TV that everybody around all the spectators, however many spectators there were, because there were very few, most of the spectators were really other participants in the tournament or members of the team. They were all wearing masks. It was noticeable that there was a lot of adherence to social distancing. So a lot of that was in evidence. But the question is whether people from 24 countries should have been descending upon Israel at a time when even Israeli nationals are finding it difficult to get to Israel. Those people who really want to come home but are stuck in foreign countries because the airport is closed, because flights are not being allowed. And yet all of these people, participants in the tournament, were allowed to come along from various countries, mostly from Eastern Europe, it has to be said, or from European destinations. Judo, obviously very, very popular in certain Eastern European countries, Georgia, Slovenia, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Russia, Belarus, of course, those countries. And of course, Mongolia was represented by the former Iranian judoka who actually ran away from Iran after he was forced to throw a tournament. He was forced to throw a match against Israeli Sagi Muki, was not allowed to participate against him because the Iranian regime decided that he was not allowed to participate in, against an Israeli international tournament. And then he ran away from Iran, defected, has been accepted now to be a representative of the Mongolian team, and he won a silver medal and was very delighted and had a lot of support from all of the Israelis who were in the stadium, willing him on, managed to earn a silver medal in the process for Mongolia. And so there was a lot of positive that came out of it. And yet this cloud hangs over the tournament and whether it was the most sensible thing for Israel to host under the circumstances. I need to mention Timna Nelson-Levy, who was Israel's gold medalist. She won a gold medal in the under 52, sorry, in the under 57 kilogram weight class, defeated her French rival in only 18 seconds in the final to earn Israel's only gold medal of the tournament. So, you know, a lot of positive things, and yet this question mark as to whether it was the most sensible thing to happen at this particular time.
Yeah, either way, let's look at the good news around it and focus on that rather. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same at time.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.